This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matt Wells. In this week's programme, we're focusing on South Sudan, with a warning that refugees fleeing the war-torn country will near 3 million by the end of next year unless fighting stops. And we'll have the latest from the UN Mine Action Service on mine clearance around the country. But first, soldiers in South Sudan have been reminded of their responsibility to protect children from violence, neglect, exploitation and abuse. The army officers took part in a two-day workshop last week organised by the UN mission in the country, UNMISS, where they were urged to show leadership by ensuring their troops protect children caught up in conflict. South Sudan's army has been accused of grave violations against children, including rape, killings and recruiting them as fighters. Henry Lokuri spoke to the head of the Child Protection Unit at UNMISS, Alfred Arono Arono, who himself is a former child soldier from Uganda.
The workshop on child protection is one of the many workshops that we intend to carry out around the whole country. The objective is to support the Sudan People's Liberation Army in implementing the action plan that it signed with the United Nations, where it agreed to stop and prevent the commission of the 6 grave violations against children. The SPLA has been listed as a perpetrator of killing and mining of children, recruitment and use of children, rape and other sexual violations against children, abductions of children, attacks on schools and hospitals, and denial of humanitarian access.
What are some of the critical issues at stake as far as child protection is concerned in South Sudan?
You know, the 6 grave violations are very critical issues because they affect the lives of the children of South Sudan, and it affects the implementation of peace and security, because a country that abuses its children cannot claim to be successful or to be part of the civilized world. But I must admit that the SPLA, by signing the agreement with the United Nations and committing to prevent these violations, is cooperating with the United Nations, and the workshop that we continue to carry around the whole country, an expression of their commitment and willingness and cooperation with the United Nations.
And what are the key issues?
The key issues to be addressed is, first of all, the ownership of the problem. Because for you to be able to resolve an issue, you have to own it, to accept it. This SPLA has accepted. So far, we have trained over 65 SPLA child protection focal points across the country. We work together with them, and we are continuing to train them to build their capacity, to raise their awareness, and emphasis that this is their problem. The solutions lie with them, and the United Nations is there to support them in the implementation of this action plan and in making sure that SPLA stops the perpetration of these 6 grave violations and human rights abuses on children in general.
Alfred Arono Arono speaking to Henry Lokuri. Some 120,000 hectares of land in South Sudan have been cleared of landmines and other unexploded ordnance, one of the significant achievements of the UN Mine Action Service, or UNMAS, there. That's according to Programme Officer Tim Lardner, speaking recently to our colleagues at the UN mission in the country. UNMAS, which has 18 programmes around the world, is celebrating its 20th anniversary. Mr. Lardner sat down with Irene Lasu and Sebit Williams to reflect on progress made and the challenges that remain.
Prior to South Sudan, Sudan has had a landmine and a UXO problem for many, many years. UNMAS established itself under the previous mission in 2004. And the aim of that was to reduce the hazards, to remove the landmines, to remove the UXO, to create a country that was much safer for people to live, work, go to school, go to hospitals, go to water points in. That was the original aim in 2004.
Right. And what are those key moments that you would like to share with us?
You know, I think all of us who've been here over the last 13 plus years have seen a bit of a roller coaster ride of experiences. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly our original goal has not been achieved, and there's many factors behind that. The primary factor is the security situation and the challenges we have at the moment with the ongoing conflict, the fact that there are still areas of contamination that are being found that we haven't discovered. We're still trying to understand the problem more clearly. I guess if switching on to the other side, there are many, many positive things about the work that we've done since 2004. We've cleared, for example, 120,000 hectares of land that is now safe for the population to go back onto. We've cleared 4.3 million items of unexploded ordnance, ranging from small and big bullets up to large bombs throughout the country. So we've cleared and made safe 28,000 kilometres of roads in the country. 3.5 million people have received some sort of education from us to help them to avoid the risk from an exploded ordnance. Mm-hmm. So, while we've not achieved our original goal of removing all the UXO and the landmines from South Sudan, we have achieved a significant amount of that. While there are still casualties in the country, we believe that those casualties are significantly less than had we not been involved in that process. Mm-hmm.
And how huge is the risk of landmines at the moment in the country? I mean, is it still something that is of more concern to UNMAS?
It is of concern. There are still many, many landmines laid in the country and are waiting to be cleared. We can't access many of those areas because of the security, because of the conditions out there, but we are gradually clearing. Again, another positive thing to take away. In 1997, there was a treaty, the Anti-Personnel Mine Ban Treaty, that was signed internationally. Mm-hmm. South Sudan became a signatory to that treaty when it was formed in 2011. The big thing about that treaty is fundamentally it means that no landmines have been laid in this country, mm-hmm. certainly over the last 6 or 7 years of the country's existence, mm-hmm. and longer than that. So that in itself is another significant achievement.
Tim Lardner there talking about clearing South Sudan's deadly landmines. The number of South Sudanese forced to flee their country could approach the 3 million mark by the end of next year, unless brutal civil conflict stops. That's the stark assessment of Arnaud Akojenu, the UN Regional Refugee Coordinator for South Sudan with refugee agency UNHCR. So far, he has been to 4 of the 6 countries which are hosting South Sudanese refugees, including northern Uganda, which has taken in more than 1 million. Speaking to Alex Agole, he described some of the harrowing first-hand stories he's heard of women raped in front of their own children and men in refugee camps now drowning their sorrow in alcohol and drugs without hope.
There are over 2 million South Sudanese refugees in the region, and as you know, this crisis has provoked a refugee flow into all 6 of South Sudanese neighbors. Uganda holds the largest population of South Sudanese refugees. At 1 million, Sudan hosts 440,000 refugees, Ethiopia 410,000, and the situation is dire and is projected to get worse based on UNHCR consultation with all country representative projection and the trends we have been going through over the last 6 months. Mm. Refugee population are in December 2017, likely there will be 2,230,000. And if the trend continues, by end of December 2018, will be over 2,800,000 refugees.
What do you make of the political situation in these countries affecting refugees crossing the borders, and how does it affect the humanitarian response as well?
My concern about South Sudan is that without a political solution to the present crisis, more people are going to suffer. With more than 4 million displaced in over 4 years, the impact on these conflicts on civilians is nothing short of a catastrophe. We must find a way to comprehensively address the root causes.
You have had an opportunity to visit the South Sudan refugees sheltering in Uganda. What are some of the striking stories you have heard and images that remain stuck in your memory?
Many refugees have lost everyone. Orphans living with foster families, others have only a mother or grandparent to depend on. They saw their fathers killed, their mothers and sisters were raped in their presence. And young refugees, especially men, between the age of 13 and 20, now use alcohol and drugs to forget traumatic experience they went through. They have lost all hope in the future.
UNHCR's Arno Akogenu speaking to Alex Agole. You've been listening to UN and Africa. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matt Wells.